Good morning, everyone. It is super good to be with you this morning. So, have you ever heard of a job that requires no experience, gives no training, it pays nothing, and you can't quit? Welcome to motherhood. Oh, and there are lives on the line also. I'm thankful for my mom. She just turned 89 in April, and here's a pic with my mom and my dad, or my wife and my brother, I mean. My mom was carried into Westside by her mom as a newborn, and she and my dad raised me and my brother within the Westside family. I'm just super thankful. God gave me life from my mom. Like one Mother's Day card puts it, thanks, Mom, for giving me life. And thanks for not taking it back during my teenage years. In addition to my biological mom, I have an encouraging and very loving mother-in-law in New York. She is super supportive of me. And I have two sons married to two godly women who are wonderful moms over our grandkids. And they live in South Carolina and in Colorado. I'm just so proud of them. I have a daughter who will be a tremendous mom if that's the Lord's desire for her. And I'm married to such an incredible wife, Nell. She's a praying mom. She's lovingly discerning. She combines grace with the truth of Scripture that she's written in her heart. It's true. Moms are extraordinarily special. And we love and appreciate you for playing such a significant life-giving role in this world. Motherhood is a sacred trust. And I recognize that today can be a tough day for some women with unfulfilled hopes. God doesn't turn a blind eye to your circumstance. He values you immensely. It is also good for us to discuss one of God's most precious parts of humanity, moms. From the day children are conceived, a mother and father's mission is to prepare kids to live a life the way God designed it to be lived. With all the skill and insight and depth and richness and joy and fullness of God. We prep our kids with God's wisdom, and when we do that, they contribute to God's fame on earth. That's why I believe families in Central Illinois can find this morning's conversation relevant. It's drawn from the biblical advice to Christian families living in ancient Ephesus. It's on the western edge of modern-day Turkey. Ephesus is, in the days of the New Testament, had a population of about 250,000 people. It was one of the most influential port cities in the Western Asia Minor area. Ephesus was the Roman capital of that province, the commercial center of the most prosperous and wealthiest part of the Roman Empire. It was diverse in ethnicity and philosophy, and next to Rome, Ephesus was the second most important city in the whole empire. In fact, milestone markers to other cities in the region were measured from Ephesus. And it's clear why Apostle Paul wanted to plant a church there. He knew that a strong, Christ-centered marriage and a healthy family are vital to living out the grace and peace of God in a city like that. But that young church in ancient Ephesus was being infected by a redefining secular ideology, a belief system that challenged God's design. The surrounding secularism in Ephesus neutered the influence of men, it devalued women, and deconstructed the nuclear family. So with similar issues surrounding us today, we can learn from the biblical advice given to that first century church in ancient Ephesus. In a passage of Scripture immediately after an appeal for a Christ-like marriage, where the husband sacrificially loves his bride as Christ loves his bride, the church, and where the wife genuinely respects her man, Apostle Paul adds this word about the family. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And with one voice, all the pre-teenagers and teenagers in the room moan, oh, great, that verse again? Obey? Really? For sure, Paul's charge for obedience is more easily applied to younger children living in the home of their parents. But does obedience cease once we reach a certain age? I mean, must I obey my mom and dad when I'm on my own insurance policy? When I'm making payments on my own car and house? I have my own spouse? Or when I've truly adulted and I pay for my own Netflix subscription and other streaming services? It seems that a child's obedience may change as we age, from obeying them while under the roof to sharing respect and giving care for our aging parents. So lest we think Paul's words are limited in scope to adolescent or elementary age kids, Paul may likely have had a broader scope in mind with a focus on adult children who may be husbands and wives as they care for their parents. My wife and I watched my parents closely over several years and ultimately decided to move back to Illinois from Idaho to be closer to them. Nell actually moved back before I did to be with them for a little over 2 months in order to assess the severity of their dementia and Alzheimer's and to confirm our decision. Our motivation to move was driven by years of obedience and respect, which made it a little easier to uproot our lives. But some may ask, well, what if I don't respect my mom and dad? What if my independence from them when I left home or got married was the best thing for both of us? Well, if your relationship with your parents is strained, and while I do hope you'll remember this reality, Christian parents exist to protect and guide and provide as they move their kids toward Christ. And I'm certain that if earthly parents aren't the best, the Heavenly Father knows this and He provides guidance through other Christian adults, spiritual aunts and uncles, spiritual parents and mentors. And in fact, I know many of you are carrying out that influence role today to a younger generation than you. And for Christian parents who are working to create a good home by God's grace, your effort will lend to the possibility that children, young or old, will truly admire and adhere to your wise counsel as you depend upon Jesus and pursue Him daily, abiding in Him for your life. It'll be worth it for children to heed their counsel, especially into adulthood. That's why Paul inserts the rationale for obedience to even be possible. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Literally, it reads, you are in the Lord. Christian children are like a fruit-producing branch connected to a healthy tree. Nutrients from the soil move up through the trunk, coursing out to the branches, which will blossom leaves and fruit. Belonging to the Lord means remaining rooted in Him and reliant upon Him and submissive to Him as the source. It's just good to belong to the Lord. Well, the context of Ephesians 6 is of parents who belong to the Lord, raising children who belong to the Lord. And when the family unit belongs to the Lord, even years after a child leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his own spouse, I think a healthy reciprocal relationship of love and respect with one's parents can develop when equipping your own family to belong to the Lord. So note the dual role. When parents exist in the Lord, they equip children in the Lord. Paul places responsibility on the children to belong to the Lord so that they can heed God's wisdom from their Christian folks. And Paul places equal responsibility on the parents to be honorable. To address how to be honorable, consider this concept that Paul raises for those families in Ephesus. Be worthy. This is what he says. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. The Greek word behind our English word worthy there originates out of a couple of places. One of those places is a first century open air marketplace context involving a scale on a table at the Ephesus Saturday farmers market, if you will. So, let's say you're interested in buying a pound of organic flour. The seller scoops a pound of it on one of the two pans, and on the other hand, pan, he places a predetermined brass weight equivalent to the fair price of a pound of flour. And when the scale reaches equilibrium, it's a worthy purchase. That amount of flour is equal to that price. And here Paul says, you're worthy when your lifestyle, your ways, your plans, your behavior, how you live, reaches equilibrium with your calling, God's design for you, your identity, who you are in Christ. So let's say some of your friends were asked to describe you as a worthy, honorable person. What kind of adjectives would they use? Well, here are a few descriptors from Ephesians 4. They sound a lot like mom. A worthy person is humble and gentle, patient, a unifier, speaking the truth in love. You are kind, your friends might say, tenderhearted, and forgiving. It's quite the list of qualities, isn't it? And if you read on, Ephesians 5 includes even more traits. But some may ask, if my parents don't have these worthy qualities in the Lord, according to Paul's description, am I off the hook and not required to obey? No. Listen to Paul's rationale for children to obey their parents, for this is the right thing to do in the eyes of the Lord. According to God's design, it's right for Christian children, young or old, to extend undeserved grace and respectfully obey their parents, even if their parents may not be worthy of such respect. I've had such good parents, and yet I've seen how this gets complicated for those who have suffered abuse at the hands of their parents. And I'm truly sorry if this is part of your story. Paul anchors his charge to obey parents in the Lord to a weighty quote from God. When God met with Moses on Mount Sinai, some 1,450 years before Jesus comes to earth, this is when God issued the Ten Commandments written on stone. In Ephesians 6, Paul quotes God's command concerning the family. The command he gave to Moses as the Israelites stood at the base of Mount Sinai. God said, honor your father and mother. This is the fifth of the Ten Commandments addressing the relationship between Israelite children, young or old, and their aging parents when they would reside in the land of Canaan that was promised to Abraham years before. You got to know, Canaan at that time was populated by people who disavowed the existence and authority of Creator God. So when the Israelites moved into the new neighborhood, God expected them to live out his covenant commands in the midst of those who possessed, well, a perpendicular view of God. They were to live among them, manifesting God's moral code, not the least of which was how to honor their aging parents. Obeying God by honoring their parents would serve as a unique extension of his blessing through his people to everyone near them in the land. God anticipated that his people would honor their parents as they age. And Paul picks up on that Mount Sinai principle and applies it to the Christian families in the land of ancient Ephesus. And today, we're picking up on it and discovering how much relevance this command has for families residing right here in the soil of central Illinois. You see, giving high respect to aging parents was something unheard of in the societal structure of the day. Paul uses the word honor there, and it's related to the ancient Hebrew word God spoke at Mount Sinai. Honor is defined as something that's heavy, being weighty or burdensome. So Paul is essentially saying something like this: children, no matter your age, experience the full weight and be burdened with the honorable responsibility of caring for your parents as they age, when they can no longer care for themselves as they once did. Some of you have or are experiencing this with your parents right now. And with my mom and dad, their dementia and Alzheimer's began to interfere with any reciprocal benefit for me. My wife and I, my brother, we've worked hard to honor them regardless of the state of their mind or memory, regardless of the return on any investment we made. So how do we experience the weight of that honorable responsibility of care? Well, here are two suggestions for all kids, no matter your generation. Just two simple reminders that when done well, can be a meaningful way for you to give honor to your parents as they age. And since it's Mother's Day, no better time than to start practicing these with mom today. Here's the first one. Speak of their qualities. Speak words that build up, that edify, that strengthen. Speak words that restore confidence. Communicate clearly. Be constructive. Choose your words with exactness. And be creative. Maybe write your words in a letter or as lyrics to a poem or as a profound pun about the intimate bond you have, like, "Mom, thanks for providing me with womb and board." You probably could improve on that one, I think. Express thanks to both of your parents often, and don't take them or their remaining days for granted. So compliment them, especially of their core subterranean qualities. Speak of the beauty of their heart, their courageous faith, their integrity, and their care for you. Encourage them today and the other 363 days of the year beyond Mother's Day and Father's Day. Frequency, I believe, matters when speaking of these qualities. So know this. It's not only children who suffer with insecurities. Parents do also. You have encouraging words within you for them. No need to rely on an artificial intelligence chatbot to describe your feelings for them, saying it in your own way, even struggling to choose the right words will be most meaningful to them. And speak honorably about your parents to others, even after they pass to be with the Lord. We live in a time with divisive voices in media encouraging us to find fault with our parents as we get older. God's ways are different and more gracious. It's possible your parents let you down so significantly that you are justified in withholding your words of praise, but for nearly all of us, that's not the case. And we have more than enough reason to thank and admire our parents. And related to that, speak honorably of your parents to the Lord, thanking God for the grace at work in their lives, applauding Him often for giving them to you. Here's a second suggestion. Serve them sacrificially. Reflect with me on the many ways moms and dads serve as we have all grown up. They clean up after we vomit. They act as our Uber service. They make us meals. They mend our hearts. Not because they had to, but because they got to and wanted to. Now it's our turn to do the same for them. Not because we have to, but because we get to and want to. Obviously, it could be helping to prepare and clean up the meal today, but beyond today. You know, loading the dishwasher and doing and folding the laundry and making the bed and cleaning the shower and the toilet and doing the vacuuming. Nell will surely tell you which of these I do better than others, if you catch her. Maybe it's making time to have a video call more regularly, or taking time to set up a shared family album like our sons have done to post pics for our grandkids. Nell loves it when they put forth that extra effort for us to kind of live with them. It's provided deep joy despite the distance. Over the past few decades when we've lived away from our parents in other time zones, my wife and I have often used paid time off, not for personal vacation, but because it gave us an opportunity to fly home to see mom and dad multiple times a year. Nell and I made it a point to talk on the phone weekly with mom and dad. Those are just good habits to keep. But maybe the price of sacrifice for mom and dad has gotten more valuable to you as it did for us. Eventually, after observing how my parents' disease was progressing, we left a house that we loved and a thriving career, a rich community of friends, not because we had to, but because we wanted to, in order to serve my parents. We moved to partner with my brother to get ahead of the power of attorney process over finance and healthcare, and Nell cleaned their house and cooked meals for them. We watched the Cardinals baseball team win every game on TV, at least the replays showed that. We played phase 10, and we played dominoes, and we did yard care and managed their bills, and we ran errands and scheduled their appointments, and eventually moved them into a memory care when care for them was beyond our ability, all the while not convinced they knew who we were. Again, I don't think my story is unique. I know there are many here today doing these very acts of sacrificial service for your family that only God knows about. So why sacrifice like that? Because of God's instruction from Scripture. Experience the full weight and burden of that honorable responsibility. It's the right thing to do. And with that, Paul quotes God again to add a remarkable incentive to encourage us forward. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you'll have long life on the earth. These words were actually drawn from Deuteronomy chapter 5 when a new generation of Israelites was raised up and were now on the eve of finally entering Canaan, and God wanted to encourage them forward. So note this, the command to honor father and mother wasn't given with a threat of punishment, honor or else. It was motivated by and built upon a promise of marvelous blessing. God promised that if his people honored their parents, God's people would receive two things, time and place. They would be given long life, time, on the earth, place. You and I also will be given time and place if we honor our aging parents, especially the time and place we need to care for them in their closing days. So observe this. The promise of long days are not necessarily for one's self to have an additional couple of years or decade to lower my golf handicap. That's not the motive. Long days on earth are given by God so that more people would observe his love through us. God promises to give you more days so that more people will see his covenant love that you showed your aging parents, so that everyone would want to experience God because of you. Getting older is kind of downplayed in our society, isn't it? We want to live longer, but we can be hesitant to let others know how old we are. Well, one elderly saint I had a friendship with back in Portland, Oregon, was a godly matriarch. I had the privilege of asking Alice what the key to her long life was. And without skipping a beat, she said, "When my parents grew old, I honored them by taking care of them for the years they took care of me. And here's my reward." She said that on her 104th birthday party. Alice died at 106. She was such a beaming light for the Lord in the assisted living home that she resided in, as well as a light to her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And so now, as we close, I just want to address all the moms and mom figures in the room. There is much pressure to prove you're a good mom today. Comparison and achievement, they're just overrated. So don't let either steal your focus as you parent to bring honor to God and your family. Mom, just rest, please. You are more than capable by God's grace. Early on, you learned how to devote your strength and skills to manage your home well. It doesn't mean you had to be a stay-at-home mom. Many of you don't do that or couldn't afford that. What it does mean is that regardless of your situation or your wider aspirations, the pattern of being an honorable mom has your home and family at the center of your life with Jesus. Your home, your husband, your kids' well-being are what fills your thoughts. It's what is most important to you. All your decisions are run through that grid. How will this or that affect my husband, you ask? How will it affect my kids? Will it make me more available to them or not? Will this enable them to flourish or cause them to flounder? Everything is run through that grid to be an honorable witness of God's love. A pastor colleague of mine illustrates it like the rings of a tree. The core of the trunk through seasons of good health and disease will always be this central ring, how to help my family flourish. You grow by developing rings in Jesus, the one who stabilizes the trunk through stormy seasons of life. In fact, those tightly formed rings make a tree's trunk more immune to insect infestation. It makes it stronger. You deepen your core because you know that all your life works best if it's Christ and home-centered. Your role will shift as you add more rings to your life's tree and as your family ages, but being a mom at the core with Christ will never cease, no matter the challenges or complexities of life. That's honorable. From nursing a newborn to losing sleep so we can sleep, to taxiing kids here and there, maybe coaching a sport, for sure feeding us, and praying ceaselessly over your adolescent's emotional ups and downs, to quietly agonizing over the miles between you and your child. Through it all, the selfless central ring remains. And in response, her children arise and call her blessed. You've exemplified honor, Mom, by bearing the weight of our lives and our burdens and our heavy hearts and agonizing over us in prayer. And for that, we want to bless you today.